Go back this morning to one of the letters of Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter talks about a number of things that bless us as we are able to put these things into our life and to let these things characterize us. I'm only talking about one of them this morning, but when you look at these things, it's something that God wants all of these things in our lives. But I can only speak on one of them because, of course, there's so much in order to understand about this. Beginning with 2 Peter 1 and verse 5, Peter said, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble." Here's a great promise of God that by doing these things, we enrich our lives and give us strength to live right. Again, emphasize that we don't just pick and choose the ones that we're going to do. This is something that all of us needs to do, all of those passages. This morning we want to talk about virtue because it's such a thing missing in people's lives today. And the idea of virtue is moral excellence, and I'm going to add to that moral courage. It has to be something inside of us. And you know, God made us as free will beings so that I can choose to do right or wrong. He gave us that great gift. At the same time, the great danger of free will is that we'll choose not to serve God. As I've said so many times, God made a number of robots. The earth and the universe is a robot. That is, it revolves as God made it to be. But something like a rose is a robot. It blooms because God made it that way. It just has no other choice but to bloom. And then, of course, animals. A horse is a robot by instinct doing what God programmed to do. When he made man, he made the unique creation of a being that has free will. And I don't know that we've ever explored that as much as we should, but in this passage we're talking about free will and we're talking about the choice for what's good. There is within us this free will. I can choose to be wicked. Many people do. I can choose to be good. Not enough people do. Jesus talked about the wide way and the narrow way. And so many people choose the broad path that leads to destruction. I want to emphasize this morning the idea of moral courage that calls for the very best we have in us. We can be so Christ-like. Bobby prayed this morning that we would live in such a way that Christ would be seen living in our lives. Well, as we do that, we're emphasizing these things that are listed in 2 Peter chapter 1. So it is to do what one has to do if from inclination, likened to courage, which is the quality of being fearless. Heard one time the definition of a wonderful housemaker is when you have linens on the table when you don't have company. You just want to do that. Well, that's the same way it is with regard to moral courage. Doesn't matter if anybody's watching. Doesn't matter if anybody can see you. You can be in an environment that's not all that good, but you still want to do right. And so it's that moral courage that we're talking about. Standing up for what is right, regardless what others think will happen to us. And you have that feeling of being alone with God is what it is. You and the Lord, and you know that you're living right, and you're going to live for that right, regardless of what people around you do. It's so easy to go with the stream. It's so easy to go with the crowd. And I've done that in the past, and most of us have. We look around, we see what most people are doing, and we want to be accepted. And so that's the sort of attitude that we have. But really, we need to be able to have that moral courage. Ralph Waldo Emerson, which is a well-known man, not a biblical authority, said this: "Whatever you do, you need courage. Whatever course you decide upon, there's always someone to tell you that you're are wrong. There's always difficulties arising that tempts you to believe your critics are right. To map out a course of action and follow it to an end that requires some of the same courage that a soldier needs. Peace has its victories, but it takes brave men and women to win them. And that's so true. As a poet, he would understand that and put it in a way that maybe I could not. But it's the idea of being right, understanding that you're right based upon evidence, not just an emotional feeling, and then the courage to stand for what that right is. And every one of us needs that as we try to be a child of God. So courage is ordered. When Joshua took over after Moses died, he was told to be of good courage. Be of good courage. Be strong and courageous. And so we would have no fear. Do not be troubled, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you are. Do you believe that? Have you practiced that? That God is with you wherever you go. You're in the car, you're in the home, you're in at work, you're all these circumstances. God is not just in this building. You know, people oftentimes talk about the church building being a sanctuary. This is just a house building. That's all it is. It's just a tool for which we use to worship. God is with you all the time. Let me tell you, I pray sometimes in the car because of dangers that are always out there. And so, wherever you go, do you have a sense that God is with you? Or do you sort of leave Him in the building, and when you go out in the world, you just sort of live yourself without really thinking about God being with you? And that's what I'm trying to emphasize this morning, to have that kind of courage. In Joshua 23, he talked about Israel as they came into the promised land. Have that courage to live right. And they so often failed. They didn't have that courage many, many times. And so this courage is ordered in the New Testament upon disciples of Christ. They would have courage because Jesus said if they're going to persecute the Master, they'll persecute you too. And he said in Matthew 10:28, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And that's a reality. One of the things that I've done in reading history is reading about earlier Christians that were put in the Roman arena when they died. And one of the comments that the Romans made was they couldn't understand how they could go to death singing. You know, that came from courage.
Amen.
They understood, yes, I'm going to die, but that's all they can do to me, and I've got an eternity to be with the Lord. Now, we need to emulate that in our own lives. Yes, we have our troubles, financial, physical, family, all kinds of troubles, but we need to have that courage to recognize no matter what everybody else does, I'm on the road to heaven, and I'm not going to change. Have that kind of determination, that virtue that's there, that moral courage. And, of course, we're ordered by the Apostle Paul to do the same thing. You find this as a theme throughout the Bible, the idea of a theme of being courageous and doing right. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, Paul said, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong.
Amen.
Now look at yourself. This is something written to you and to me. I have to make this application to me. And he's saying, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Well, that especially has to do with temptations and these things that the devil places in your way. We talked this morning about a message from Satan for the Apostle Paul. We don't know what that is, but it could be anything in your life as well. A messenger from Satan. And that's when you're being tempted. The idea is, I know it's a temptation. Paul said we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. We know what they are. But we're to be strong when those things happen, and we'll overcome those things. Then again, courage is needed because sometimes you're being led by the majority. You see, most people doing that. I was really impressed. We talked about the Olympics a little bit in class this morning. I was so impressed by Michael Phelps. He actually has had 23 gold medals. But he was bragging about the fact that he has this baby from his fiancée. He's bragging about living in sin. And that's what people do today. They just live in sin and brag about it. And he's a wonderful athlete, but he's not a good influence. And I see this in the majority of people. So many people. In fact, marriage is sort of minor now. There are more people living together in sin than are actually married. Our nation is turned upside down in a lot of ways. And so we have to be strong in that sense and understand being strong. And Jesus was saying that in Matthew 7 when he talked about the broad way and the narrow way. And would you ask yourself this morning, am I on the narrow way? Have you made that choice? It's so easy not to. I mean, you see everybody else going the wrong way, and it's so easy to be led by athletes and politicians, maybe, but stars, and you imitate all those. You know, there are not very many heroes to emulate today. There was a time when I was young and I watched Roy Rogers and Gene Autry and the man in the white hat always won. That's not the way movies are today. And many times the bad guys win and they're extolled as something great. And the world has changed in my lifetime. And so Jesus is talking about that broad way. It is identifiable.
Amen.
You can know what the broad way is. And I want a personal thing to you this morning for you to ask yourself, am I in the narrow way? It's not easy sometimes. You have to make difficult choices. But the Lord knows you're able. When He gave you free will, you can look at the choices and you decide which highway you're going to walk. And that's what we're trying to get across this morning. And so Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it. Now, when we get to heaven, finally to the judgment day, we'll find out for sure which road we've been on. But I don't want to wait that long.
Amen.
I don't want to wait till I have to say, hear Jesus say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I want to be among those when He says, enter in. Amen. Man, what a thought to be able to enter in like that. And so, courage is needed. We always should do what's right. Now, I haven't always done that. Neither have you. But here's my goal. And the Apostle Paul said, forgetting what's behind and looking to the future, I press forward. And that's what we're doing too. The strength is shown when we trust God. And in Philippians 4 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul addresses that with regard to the courage that we need to have. And we need to be sure that we're exhibiting that. In verse 13 of Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now that's not a lie. When you make up your mind to do right, you can do right.
Amen.
And we need to understand that and appreciate that. And there are examples of this in the Bible that helps us understand. Joshua and Caleb, when they were going into the promised land to spy out the land, 10 spies says they couldn't do it. They said, yes, we can. And they were the only two that entered the promised land because of that. Gideon in Judges chapter 7, even though he had a few with him through the test that God gave, he was able to win with the few that God gave him. And we need to understand that. I understand that in this congregation. We're a few, but we look at the Bible, we live by the Bible. We want everybody to be able to come and work with us, but we've got to live by the Bible, and just like Gideon did, just like Joshua and Caleb, and like Daniel. I can't put myself in sympathy with Daniel. I can't really understand what all he went through. But he stood firm in a foreign country that was an enemy to him. He stood firm. And there's no better example than Paul, as we've been studying this morning. And in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, we were looking at all the trials and temptations and things that he had. And he had to do it because he had enemies, strangely enough, there in the church at Corinth. And they were doubting that he was an apostle. And he proved that because of his courage. He proved that. Would you go down to Fort Worth on Saturday and stand on a street corner and preach the gospel?
Amen.
I know you'd be looked at like a dumbo, but Paul did that at Corinth. I was amazed in Acts 18 where Jesus told Paul to go to Corinth and preach the word, for I have much people in that city. Well, they didn't have name tags. They didn't have ID breakfast. They didn't have anything across their forehead. How did he find the people of God? He preached. And I know he said some of them looked like he was an outcast. They looked down on him. And it takes courage to do that when people are looking down on you because you know that you're right.
Amen.
It takes courage to come here. You could go to some big cathedral in Fort Worth or Dallas. You could be one among thousands. And most of these churches are determined to make you feel good. Well, I do too, but I want you to feel good because you're living right. And so we have that. And then the apostles in Acts 4 and Acts 5, when they were put in jail and they suffered for the cause of Christ and they were threatened. You know, they went to jail and they were told by the authorities, don't you do this anymore. In Acts 5, they say, we must obey God rather than man. Have you ever said that and meant it? Have you been at a place where you had to make that kind of choice? And so we're virtuous when we endure temptation. And temptations are really for our own good. We talked a little bit this morning about the Hebrew letter talking about chastening from the Lord. And when we are tempted but we overcome that, that's part of our chastening, we get stronger. James talked about that, the temptations don't come from the Lord, but they come from our own selves. And we need to understand that and to recognize that these temptations are to be endured. And yeah, it takes courage to do that. We're virtuous when we have courage to say no. Nancy Reagan was hounded and laughed at and scorned because when it came to her drug culture, she was fighting the drug culture, she said, just say no. And they laughed at her. But that's right.
Amen.
You need to say no before you start it. If you don't start it by saying no, you're not into all that terrible drug addiction. Through the years, I've seen some horrible, horrible things as a preacher, having to deal with people with drug addiction. I've seen such human waste. I've seen death. I've seen so many things happen that's a curse to humanity because of drugs and alcohol. It's been a curse in my family as well. And if you want to have courage to say no, look at Joseph. I think he's my favorite character in much of the Bible because he was mistreated. He was receiving visions that made his brothers scoff and laugh at him. He was hated by his own brothers, sold into slavery, tempted by Potiphar's wife and resisted and said no. And though he went to jail and suffered because of all that, God used him. And to me, one of the most outstanding things that happened to Joseph is when he was second in command to Egypt, over all of Egypt, and his brothers came in not knowing who he was. And here he was, he could have had them killed with a snap of his fingers. What did Joseph do? He went into another room and cried. He could see his family again. And when they found out that Joseph was him and that he was the head of Egypt, they were afraid. And here's what Joseph said. God was using me to preserve my family. Now, there's a couple of families in Gladewater. My brother was baptized at the building at Gladewater on Friday. And some others were there that just came to be there for the occasion. They had about 15 people show up that were friends and wanted to see him being baptized. And Gladewater is suffering like a lot of churches. They've got a beautiful building. Their membership is almost down to nothing. Preacher said in about 3 years they may have to close the doors. Well, I saw some people there that used to attend at Gladewater, so I talked to them about going back. Why don't you go back to Gladewater and worship? They need you. I said, well, we've got family problems. She and her sister fell out. And she and her mother fell out for a long period of time. They didn't speak. And so she didn't know if she's going to be welcome back there again. Family problems. You know, it takes courage to work through those. And when you look at what Joseph did, he's such an example of somebody that has this big heart and the courage to say, yes, I could kill you, but I'm here because God put me in place to save you. What a wonderful story it is of courage and virtue, this moral courage that Joseph had. Learn to avoid situations that get us into trouble. That's the key. Sometimes if you don't go to a bar, it doesn't take any courage not to drink. If you turn on your television and you don't watch porno, it doesn't take any temptation to turn it off. I could sympathize with Paul getting beaten and whipped and the things that happened to him because of people hating him for the gospel. But we bring our troubles on ourselves. We bring our troubles on ourselves. So the way to avoid temptation is just not go there. There was a young military man in the Marine Corps when I was preaching in North Carolina close to the Marine base. And we talked a lot and had good friendship. But he came to me one Sunday morning and said, I want to be restored this morning. Asked for the prayers of the church. He said, I went out with a bunch of Marines and they made fun of me because I wouldn't drink. And finally, just to show them I was as good as they are, I got drunk. Just as good as they were. And he said, I knew it was wrong. Well, he was in a place of temptation. And I've said before, the Satan knows your weakness. Don't go where he has that weakness to give you temptation.
Amen.
And so this is the courage that starts and avoids many troubles. It takes courage when you're in trouble. But folks, it takes courage to not get into trouble. You got to make these decisions, and good decisions at that. And we're virtuous when we have courage to reprove those in sin. A couple of examples are given when you look at somebody that does that. Nathan rebuking David. Now, David was king, and David could have killed him. They often killed people back in those days. Nathan stood up and pointed what I believe had to be a long, bony finger at David. And when he told the parable, and David got incensed because of the unrighteousness of the man in the parable, Nathan said, you're the man.
Yep.
You're the man. I've had to do that to brethren. It's not any fun. I've had to do that with people I'm trying to convert. But the apostles did that in Acts 2 when he said to all the Jews, you kill Jesus, the Savior. That took courage to stand up and do that. It's been estimated there are probably at least 100,000 Jews in Jerusalem then. I would think it's a lot more. But they were there for Pentecost. They'd come for Passover and they stayed 50 days for Pentecost. And there were thousands and thousands there. And Peter and the apostles preached and said, you kill Jesus Christ. 3,000 of them repented. So it can work. Then Peter rebuking Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 because they lied to the Holy Spirit. And then also Peter rebuking Simon in Acts 20 because he had tried to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I can't leave out Paul rebuking Peter in Galatians 2 because he played a hypocrite. And he was one of the original apostles, but like we learned in class this morning, he wasn't behind any apostle. And so when Peter did something wrong, he told him to his face. Would you have the courage to do that to me if I did something wrong? I told Becky and Gary, you're going to run into some false teachers. And I warned them a couple times about that. Then the next day, when we're getting ready to go to Gladwater to be baptized, I said, now it's going to cost each of you $100 to be baptized. You got to pay me $100 a piece. And they looked at me and Becky said, no way. I said, see, sometimes you run into false teaching. You got to have the courage to say no. Now, I'm telling you this because you're going to run into false teachers, and I want you to be able to say, no, I don't believe that, because you're going to read your Bible, and they've got my daddy's Bible. I was so impressed that daddy had a Bible. Daddy hated the church. He told my sister one time, I've read through the Bible. She said, you did? He said, yes, if I'm going to hell, I want to know what I'm going for. Just blows my mind. I read the Bible so I can know how to go to heaven. And you need to rebuke those who are living wrong in your family or in your friends, and be able to have the courage to do that. Be able to preach, to tell the truth, and ready to endure persecution. Had a fellow tell me one time, he's going to whip me. And I said, are you really threatening me? He said, yep, you butt your back because I'm going to get you. Well, he never did, but I watched my back. You have to worry about that. Courage is to be ready to stand for what we believe at all costs. And that's important. Stephen in Acts 7 died because of his faith. The Apostle Paul was beheaded on Rome, outside Rome. I just think, those Romans had no idea who he was. They had no idea that he was beloved of God. And they just chopped his head off. And he had the courage to do it. Well, I want to say this morning, our courage may be never tested just like that. Our tests are going to be less dramatic, but they're going to be just as real. There's never going to be a life-threatening problem if you're dangerous, unless the Muslims come to see us. So we go to Las Vegas or someplace, and are we going to gamble or not? Are you going to play the lottery or not? $450 million in the lottery. Is that a temptation? Am I going to do that or not? I came upon a lady in the church in Fort Worth at Woodmont where I was preaching, and she was busy scratching. And I walked up and just stood there until she noticed me. She said, oh. I said, I teach against that. And that was it. But you have to tell people that. Will I sleep in on Sunday morning? Or get up and get ready and be ready to suffer, as the song leader used to tell me. Will I keep quiet in the face of sin? You see somebody tell a dirty joke. I have a brother-in-law who has a brother living with them. And when we're down in East Texas and we go out to eat, and he always gets a beer or a margarita. And I've just told him twice, now I'll pay for your food, but I'm not paying for your liquor. I just want him to know that. I'm not going to pay for his liquor. And he has to understand that's who I am. Well, you're on television, will you watch an R-rated movie? It's a temptation. What you see is sometimes what you become. And those R-rated movies are bad for you. We have an expression in the computer language, G-Jo, G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. That applies to your spirituality too. You watch too much garbage, then that's what's going to come out of your mind. And finally, will I be faithful to death? My mother was working in a hospital and a man had cancer. And she was waiting on him. His last breath, he cursed God for giving him cancer and died. Would you want to go face God with cursing him the moment you die? But you can drift along. You won't have to do anything that bad. Just drift along and don't be faithful. Don't go to church. Don't serve the Lord. Just be neutral about all that sort of thing and go with the crowd and still go to hell.
Amen.
And I need to tell you that. I need to tell you that because you need, and I need, virtue. Courage to look what's right and stand where I should stand.
Amen.
That's what I'm teaching this morning. That's just one of the virtues that are mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 1. Hope it'll impress you as it has me. And you make a conscious decision. It's not going to happen by accident. You make a conscious decision. I'm going to have the courage to stand for what's right. Now this morning you might need to be restored to God. And it takes courage. I know it takes courage to stand up, walk down the aisle, admit I've sinned. Haven't lived right. But moral courage, virtue, is needed to fallen away Christians. And you have to make that choice. And there are people who have never been baptized into Christ. It takes a lot of courage to say, I've sinned.
and I repent of my sins, and I want to confess Jesus, and I want to be baptized into Christ. It takes courage. I've seen people cry because it took so much courage. It scared them, but they did it anyway. I've baptized people afraid of water, and they did it anyway. Do you need that courage, virtue this morning? I pray that you'll find it inside you. It's there.
You just have to choose it. Will you choose it this morning while we stand and sing the invitation song?